Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. You know, when I think about unity, I've just, you know, been around, seen, you know what? It's like, it's not unity for unity's sake. It's, first of all, for the church, it's unity around Christ and his word and love for, you know, his people and all mankind. And with America, it's unity around the idea of America, an allegiance to the Constitution of America. You know, I pledge allegiance to the Republic for which it stands, and that's unity. Unity is not all these folks coming together and all these folks have a different viewpoint of our founding original intent of our country. That's not unity.
Mm-hmm.
That's an argument.
Right.
And we are supposed to have the battlefield of ideas, but you don't. We're going to have to unify again over the idea of America.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to, you know, we've been preparing for quite some time to be able to go back to where we've gone astray, for the point we left off from. You know, you could be going the right way for a while, and all of a sudden you can veer off and get off course. Well, we're trying to get back to whatever that point was. We got off course with America and with the church. And we say, let's go back there, and let's continue on from there. We call it the original intent. And we have to do it. We're gonna have to do the work. We're gonna have to know what our Constitution says. Oh well, you're gonna have to actually read something. You can listen to it today. You can probably watch a movie of it, but you're gonna have to know what the Constitution says. You'll be really surprised. We've been taking the U.S. citizenship test, and it's been really, you know, funny. But we're also learning. We're taking the citizenship test.
Yeah.
What people have to know to be able to become a citizen. We're finding out that we don't even know the stuff.
I know.
And we've been criticizing other people, and they know more about America than we do. If they're a fresh citizen, they had to pass that test. And so we are going to educate ourselves. We are in a conversation that's evolving because we're learning as we go.
Mm-hmm.
Your grace and your mercy is greatly appreciated as we learn how to do this. And but God is moving. You know, many of you are talking to us and how you're encouraged and enlightened, and you know, the oh my goodness, I didn't know that. And that's beautiful, mm-hmm. because that's our goal. Our goal is to say, my goodness, you know, God can use me. I did, you know, it's just encouraging. Many encouraging things. When you come back, we're going to be talking about, you know, the unity and the purpose and how important it is and how valuable the church as a whole is. You know, we're talking about unity in the church and how important it is. It makes me think about the revelation from the Lord that was given to Rick Joyner, and he penned it in the book called The Torch and the Sword. And The Torch and the Sword, it's just a really, I mean, you got to read some of Rick's stuff. Rick is just, mm-hmm. for years, has, when he was young, he just cried out, you know, I want visions, I want dreams. And it may encourage you to ask the very same thing. And in that, the Lord gave him a vision and showed him the situation about, you know, unity in the church and the things that are coming and what we have to do. And of course, The Torch and the Sword, if you notice that one of our things that we do is called The Torch.
You're right.
And keeping the light out there before everybody. And the sword, of course, is the word of God. And mm-hmm. you think about Gideon, you know, it's the same situation when God begins to turn the heart of our nation. But in that, it was very important that when he, just imagine you're in the city and it's got this big old tree here. And then, you know, Rick's in this vision, he's given a sword, a real sharp sword. And it's really, you know, pretty cool or whatever. I'm kind of paraphrasing. You can read it. It's called The Torch and the Sword by Rick Joyner. And when he took it, he thought, man, I got to try this thing out or whatever. And he started just hacking stuff. And he cut down this tree. It was just there. You know, when a kid gets a gun, you know, the first gun, they go start shooting stuff. What else can I shoot? I think I'll shoot that. I think I'll shoot this.
Mm-hmm.
And so often that's how people do ministry.
Right.
And I'll try this. I think I'll try that. I'll try to, like, people are like dead people everywhere. It's like, yeah. Not a
put
good thing
that
to do.
Away. Put that down.
So, well, that didn't work. Moses said as he buried two of his first followers. Anyway, so that he cuts this tree down. And as he cuts this tree down, all of a sudden, with the sword, all of a sudden this evil started coming into the city. And he couldn't undo what he did. And there's no way to uncut a tree down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many things we'd love to take back. You know, so many things you're like, well, and it's just like, it's done. And so he cut this tree down in the vision. All of a sudden this evil was released on the city, and, you know, bad things started happening. And the very parts of the, you know, there's only one church. of which is Jesus is the head, and all those who are believers and followers of Jesus are his body. And so there's fragments of us and different parts of us, but we're one. And as God is one, but there's in this vision, he saw there was parts of the different churches that wasn't appreciated in that particular city. And so they started basically being defeated by the evil one, and the very evil that he released. Then all of a sudden they started realizing even that struggling work or whatever it was, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. that particular gathering that people thought, or quote church, that wasn't doing much. It was actually holding ground. It was holding ground. And that when you remove the church, when you remove parts of the church from your city and from your nation, it doesn't just stay empty. Mm-hmm. Darkness comes into that spot. I think about, you know, remember Pat, when you and I were in New Orleans, and mm-hmm. you know, God had called us to New Orleans, and we're following him and what's going on. But there was a particular church that gathered at a Presbyterian church or whatever that gathered in the city of New Orleans, and they were finding out that they no longer gathered there anymore. And they turned this church building into an abortion clinic. They're aborting babies in the very place they used to worship God. Mm. Right?
That's right.
We were like, what's going on here? For some reason, they're protesting abortion in front of this church building. We're like, something's not right. We get out, we find out that one of these, you know, organizations that, you know, medical clinics that abort babies took over the building. Mm-hmm. And we have to appreciate each other in regards to understanding that. And of course, you know, great evil happened, and we're all on the same, as a church, we're all on the same side. We're on Jesus' side. We're on God's side. You know, we're not picking any other side other than God's side.
Right.
What does that mean? That means some people are not in agreement with God to say they are, and they're not going to be on your side. But understand, but there's others that may not just kind of flow the same way you flow, or, you know, they have the main thing is the main thing, that they know who the Lord is, they're rightly related to him, and they're doing their best.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that they're holding a light space in your city. They're holding a light space, L-I-G-H-T space, you know, in your community and in your state and in your nation. And it's very, very relevant and very, very important. First of all, it's the church, which are people, not the building. And, you know, we're called to love the church. And ever how we treat the church is how we treat God.
Yeah.
And so it's very important. Now, if you actually, you know, hit a building, a physical building, and say you don't like it, you didn't hit God.
Right.
You know, you hit a building. If you punched a wall that was made of sheetrock, you know, you didn't hit God. You hit a sheetrock wall. But if you lay your hands on God's people, you know, you hurt God's people. You put God's people in captivity. You do things to God's people that causes them to turn away from God. All these different things. You're touching God.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that it's, you know, it's our hope and a heart that we are doing things that communicate that we are for the church. We are for, you want to have every believer in your city know how important they are.
Mm-hmm.
And you want them to be talking to God. You want them to be abiding with Jesus. And everything you do, you want to be able to encourage them in that direction. Because we're coming to a time coming soon. I think even Corey Russell even said it there. The one thing which we've been saying it all along, but it's great to have things established with different witnesses,
mm-hmm.
is that if you're not hearing from God when this storm hits, you know, you're probably not going to make it.
Right.
You're probably not going to make it. And so when we're talking about, listen, you know, this needs to happen and that needs to happen, as to the church, we're saying we want you to make it. We want you to hold your ground. We want you to be that light in the midst of darkness. That, in addition to that, that we have to be real careful how we wield the sword, the word of God, and how we're saying and how we're presenting it. Because in that vision that was given to Rick Joyner, that he just cut down a tree because he could.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we can do something just because we can. We got to be careful. We got to pray about it, think about it, and how is this going to affect, you know, the body, people, human being, believers, and the testimony of Jesus Christ in that city. And it's just so, so very, very important. Do we fail in this? Yes, we do fail in it. Do we need God's grace and mercy? Yeah, we're totally dependent on it. But our heart has to be leaning in this direction, and that's what we want to do. And if we do make a mistake in regards to that we see that, like Rick saw, that the damage was done, that we need to be able to come out and say, listen, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me for this. And because we need each other. We need each other. When people are fighting for their kingdom over God's kingdom, I mean, that's going to always be difficult. But in regards to fighting for God's people, standing up and defending God's people, that you know, Mrs. Jones, or you know, the elderly lady who's lives up the street, who's a believer that goes to her gathering once a week, or the young man who just found God who goes to the first whatever church, or the you know these are very important parts of God's body, and we need to recognize them and we need to honor them, and but sometimes, I mean, you look at when Jesus was presenting accurately his heart, that the religious folk, you know, was not pleased with it.
Right.
And Jesus did not unify with those who weren't wanting to unify with him. And it was rough. It was rough for them.
Right. The thing is that sometimes, you know, it's not that God doesn't call us to judge, you know, things are not right, yet you have to speak about what's not right. But it's not doing it in a critical format, and you're not being critical of it. You're loving the church, and so you want to speak a word of truth, a word of warning, to prepare us for what lies ahead. But
you want them to make it. You're for that person. Yeah. You're for them. You want them to make it. So it's like speaking the truth in love. What you know,
exactly.
Paul tells the church of Ephesians.
Exactly. Not in a critical way.
Right. Which is really difficult to do. Because it's already, if I'm struggling with something, if Pat's struggling with something,
it's better.
What I'm saying? More practical. I'm struggling with something, you know, obviously I'm going to be real sensitive. So it's probably, you know, get ready for, you know, think about it. Even when God comes down and looks for Adam, you know, he takes off. Mm-hmm. And God didn't say, oh, forget it. No, he didn't say that. He said, you know, where are you? We're going to look for him and whatever. And he found them. Our first reaction is going to be quite often avoidance, you know, avoidance of that. And not always, but you know, the more you hang with God, he's like, here I am, whatever, God, do it, whatever you got to do.
Right. Do it quickly.
If you haven't been abiding with God, if you haven't been abiding with God, and you're not used to that, you're not used to repentance and constantly being, you know, directed and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be difficult at first because. You know, you're going to define correction, you know, based off of you're thinking how God thinks about you and not realizing that he loves you. He loves you already. He loved you while you were yet a sinner. And so with that, when you understand the love God has for you, correction no longer is a big deal because he's just positioning us to what's best for us and best for his will and where we're going. And what he's doing in the earth. And so it's encouraging to remember in unity in the church, we're talking about unity, not with, you know, denominationalism, not unity with non-denominationalism, not unity with the whatever. It's unity with people who love God, believers of Jesus Christ, people who accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that no matter where they are on this journey of development and learning how to follow God, because that day one, their spirits may ride with God, but we don't look the same necessarily in our actions because we may be really immature, even though we may have been a believer for 10 years because we've never been discipled. We don't look much different than the world, and begin to unify around that. And with that kind of unity, God can save your city. I mean, don't think of your city as connected to the United States in regards to God being able to do something. If the entire nation decides to go the wrong direction, that God can cause your city to be a light. He can cause your produce to expand and to grow. He can cause, you know, evil to be shut down. He can change your leaders to be godly light leaders. He can do all that despite what's happening at in the world. God can turn your city. Unity is so, so important, but it's the right Christ-centered unity, and we have to be very, very careful what we say and how we say it. And that's our goal at VFN Radio, is to encourage and not to discourage, to bring hope and not doubt.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.